Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and all of that. And Vic's Picks. He's not in tonight, but he is going to call in at 3:30, and we're going to talk about the music education that he is undergoing right now. As we do. It's also, this year marks the 50th anniversary of Monty Python's Flying Circus, if you can believe that. It makes me feel like I'm 90. And we're going to talk about some Python stuff. That's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. But I'd like to welcome to the show here someone who's not new to this studio or to WGN itself. Kasara Heining, known as DJ Cash Era. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good. Good to see you. I see you in the hallways here every once in a while. You've produced for me a few times.
Yeah. I'm here every Sunday morning, super bright and early, with Steve Dell and Rick Pearson.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. Very, very cool. So that's your regular gig, and you fill in every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, you catch me in the hallways. A lot of weekdays is what I get hit with.
Yeah. Very cool. So DJ Cash Era, you are a DJ.
Yes, I am indeed.
And you, how long have you done that?
This is my five-year anniversary.
Five-year anniversary. Congratulations.
Years. Thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, we're having you on because we want to get to know you and all that. Well, I want the listeners to get to know you and all that cool stuff. But you are DJing as part of WGN's at the Pride Parade.
Yes.
On Sunday.
I am.
Yeah. And it'll be your second year DJing at the parade.
Yes, my second year DJing at the parade. I am beyond ecstatic. The first time they had me do it was last year. And the day they asked me, like as soon as I said yes, I started breaking down crying. Because it was like a dream of mine ever since, even before I started DJing, I just wanted to be like on the float, to be the entertainment for somebody. So when they asked me, it was just all of my career dreams coming true.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what's the setup? You're on the GN float and you're DJing.
Yeah, they put me
keeping the party going with it.
That is all me. So they're going to bring out this really big sound system and then I'm at the back of the float. I have a really big umbrella to cover me and all my equipment. And then I just blast music for everyone to sing along to.
Yeah. Stay hydrated, Cash, because it's going to be a scorcher.
I have like four bottles of water in the freezer right now. Because I know they're going to melt. I feel like three of them are going to melt before we even like kick off
the parade. I mean, we're going to be in the 90s all weekend. So, I mean, you know, the Pride Parade historically has it's hot almost every year on the Pride Parade.
Every year. And I feel like just having more people congregate together makes it even
hotter. Exactly. Well, you know what? The other thing about it is there's not a lot of clothing worn during the Pride Parade. So, you know, at least some people will
understand why. I definitely understand why. After being in it, I definitely see why.
So, let's talk about yourself. Where are you from?
I am from Chicago.
Yeah.
Born on the South Side, raised in the far South suburbs.
Okay.
Which I still reside out there.
What suburb?
I'm in Crete and Sauk Village.
Oh, sure.
So, like, I'm out by, like, Homewood, Flossmoore, Chicago Heights, way, way south.
And you went to, where'd you go to? You went to Columbia, right?
I went to Columbia College, Chicago.
Yeah.
And graduated in 2017.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You're young.
I'm 23. I am 23 years old.
All right, great. Good for you. So did you enjoy going to Columbia? What'd you major in?
I majored in radio broadcasting with a minor in television.
Okay.
And Columbia was my dream school. I actually, when I was leaving high school, I originally wanted to do forensic science.
No kidding.
And I was like an Illinois State Scholar, everything. I was a bookworm. And I got into like over 17 schools and universities.
Wow.
And turned down two full rides to go to Columbia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you jumped from forensics to radio?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It is a leap. I don't even know. I don't know. I was really into like CSI crime.
Sure.
And it just seemed like a great idea because I'm like, I'll get loan forgiveness every year that I work with the state. I had thought it all out.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I started thinking about it on a personal level. And I think what really hit was that my mom asked me, would I see myself being happy doing it for 50 plus years? And then I thought about it and I'm like, that's a lot of cold cases. That's a lot of difficult cases to deal with. Like, what if I mess up someone's life because I did something wrong with testing?
Right.
And I just thought about it like, I don't want to deal with death for 50 plus years.
That makes sense.
So I figured I'll put that on the back burner. So I still have a dream of becoming a forensic science.
Yeah.
I didn't completely drop the dream. But I think maybe once I hit like 35, I'll do online schooling.
Yeah.
Because it's only 2 years online to do it.
Yeah.
And then just work.
Yeah, 50 plus years. 50 plus years with dead bodies. That's a little.
It sounds like. Yeah. I don't know.
So what was it about radio that, have you always been into it or?
No, I feel like my mom actually got me into radio. When I was in eighth grade, my graduation gift, I don't know how this woman pulled this off, but she reached out to one of the hosts that used to be at 103.5 Kiss FM and just explained to him, his name's Scotty K.
Sure.
And she told him, like, hey, my daughter graduated. Can she come shadow you at your station during your show? And he said, yeah, come on by. So I got to go sit with him for 4 hours, and it was great. So I always had that in the back of my mind starting my high school career. And then when I hit, like, my junior year, because with high school, I was the new kid. Because I went from a private Catholic school of, like, 10 kids in the class to my freshman year. It was, like, 500 of us.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really big leap. But, like, I wasn't shy. I was like, reserved but not shy.
Okay.
But my junior year, I started mentoring the freshmen. It was an extra class that we had. And for whatever reason, they were supposed to have one of the star football players, who is now Laquan Treadwell with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
He was going to be like the spokesperson for us talking to this younger class of freshmen. He was running late that morning, of course. And my teacher was like, well, you know the spiel. Just go out there and do it. And then shove me in front of the mic.
What?
So I was forced to talk to an entering class of 500 kids out of nowhere on the fly. But when I did it, everyone was like cheering because of what I was saying. I'm like, oh, this isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like it grew from that because I've always loved music too.
Yeah. So. Well, that's great. And how long? And you've been here at the station now for
2 years.
2 years.
My 2 year anniversary was 2 days ago.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank
How'd you get here? Did you intern at first, or
I did not intern at first. When I graduated, I did the panic that every graduate goes through of, oh my gosh, I'm never gonna get a job. Someone help me.
Yeah.
And I got my start in DJing through Young Chicago Authors. So one of the founders of that organization, his name is Kevin Koval.
Yeah, I've had members of that on my show many times in the Louder Than a Bomb. We've talked about that.
Yes.
We've had it on when the movie came out and all that stuff. So
yes.
Yeah.
I love LTAP.
Amazing.
I love YCA.
Amazing.
Because I'm the official DJ for LTAP.
Yeah, I know that. That's amazing.
I love those guys. Kevin Koval, who was one of the founders of YCA. Called me into his office because he knew that I was stressing, and he's like, what did you study? Did you get your degree? What do you want to do? And I explained to him, like, what was going on, and he called up a couple people, helped me get an interview here with Todd and Stephanie.
Yeah.
I met with them and got hired on. My hire date, when I first met with them, it was exactly 1 month after I graduated.
Wow.
And then, like, it was like 2 weeks later, they told me that I got the job.
Yeah.
So then my first time meeting everybody was at the Pride Parade in 2017.
Oh, no kidding.
Stephanie invited me out. So my first time, like, meeting everybody before I even really started and even got my badge was at the Pride Parade with everybody.
Well, then the Pride Parade has a lot of emotional attachment to you then,
very
right?
Very much so.
That's so great that now you're DJing it this year on Sunday. And first of all, tell everybody really quickly about the Young Chicago Authors. We mentioned it in passing.
Yes.
It's an incredible organization.
It's like, Young Chicago Authors is an organization that I wish I knew about when I was in high school.
Exactly, yeah.
But Young Chicago Authors is a nonprofit, and they hold the world's largest youth poetry festival right here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it really just allows so many, like, high school children, and even now they're letting middle school children do it as well, enter in, and you get to tell your story through the arts, be it that you are a poet, you rap, you sing, whatever. And they help shape what you want to tell and help you tell it in a congruent way.
Yeah.
To where others can easily receive it. But it's such a great organization, and all the teaching artists and just the work that they do is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and if people haven't, there's a documentary out about it. It's called Louder Than a Bomb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the documentary. And if people want to learn about this organization, I've interviewed many people who have gone through it and who are part of the organization. It's a really great place, and the movie's terrific. So people should check it out, and you'll get to know all that. Now, how did you get into, how did you get into DJing? Was that something that you were you always into it?
No. Me getting into DJing, my freshman year at Columbia, I took a lot of hard classes to get all my gen eds out of the way. And I took honors, calculus, and quantum physics.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I don't know what I was thinking. Worst decision ever.
Yeah.
But my guidance counselor looked at it, and she was like, you should take an easy A class. Take the DJ course, it's in the radio department. So I took it, And the first day I walked in, my mentor and professor for that class, his name was DJ INC, which stands for I Need Cash. And the very first day he was like, yeah, so we're going to have you spin on turntables with vinyl. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't even know what you're saying right now, but I'm in, whatever. And before I even started, I had gotten the video game DJ Hero because I liked Guitar Hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I told him that, he was like, well, you know all the basics. You just don't know the terminology yet. But it was true because everything he was teaching me, I already knew.
You knew because of a video game.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I knew how to scratch. I knew about like the crossfader. I knew all like so many basic blends and techniques. I just didn't know the terminology for it.
This is a message for all those parents out there who are not happy about their kids playing video games.
Let
them play their video games.
Yes.
That's right. Hang on, okay, Cash?
For sure.
All right, DJ Cash Era is with us. She works here at WGN. She's a great DJ, and I will tell you about where you can see her DJ and hear her DJ. But for sure, she's going to be on the float, on the WGN float at the Pride Parade for her second year DJing that, and that's this Sunday, the 30th. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after this on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. It's also, this year marks the 50th anniversary of Monty Python's Flying Circus, so we're going to talk Python, too, and much more. Vic's picks. Vic is going to be calling in. He's off tonight. Roger's filling in the newsroom, but Vic is going to be calling in to talk about his latest musical adventures. Right now, though, we are talking with Kasara Heining, who is better known as DJ Cash Era. She works here right at WGN and is a DJ. So you were talking about before the break, we were talking about how you got into DJing.
Yes.
And a video game gave you the knowledge that you needed.
Indeed. Yeah.
So what was the class like? You took a DJing class. I wasn't aware that they had DJing classes.
Me either. So when I took it, all they had were just two stations, and it was vinyl with turntables and then CDJs. So it was about 15 of us in the class, and he would show us a technique, whatever we were working on for the day, and then walk us through it, like hands-on, just right there next to us, telling us what to do and helping us walk and navigate through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the semester, he showed us what the new technology is, which is Serato with your computer and a controller and all that stuff, and explained to us like how you can buy it, how you use it, and then also taught us the business, like how to help yourself get booked, the power of social media, how important it is just to go to other people's events and just meet other people. And then he had approached me and he was like, hey, you know, you're really, really good at this. If you practice more, you'll get even better. But I want to connect you with the people over at Young Chicago Authors and see if they need any DJs for Louder Than a Bomb.
Yeah.
Just so happened that one of the DJs they were using had moved to a different state. They needed somebody. They let me shadow their official DJ at the time, who was DJ Itch 13. And boom, started doing bouts for them.
There you go. And that's how it all started.
That's how it all started.
And now you got gigs all over the place, right?
Yeah. I went to London last year.
Oh, wow.
I'm booked to go to New York to make my debut out there in September. So, yeah, now I'm traveling.
Are there still DJs out there that do it old school with the vinyl and everything?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
There's actually parties that are exclusively vinyl. If you do not spin vinyl, you cannot hop on the decks.
So you got like milk crates with the records and all that
I
stuff?
I do not. I am bougie to an extent because I am not lugging around crates and whatnot.
I
respect those who do. I have so much respect for those that do.
You know, it's funny. I've seen you DJ a couple of times, and one of the first times I saw you was we did a couple of years ago. We did a live podcast broadcast,
yes.
And you were the DJ there.
Yes,
and you had to do sound cues for the dumb bits that we were doing for us, and that was the first time. But the setup is it's so foreign to me when I think because I'm an old dude, and when I think DJs, I think the two turntables and vinyl. And I saw the setup that you had, and I was like, well, I don't even know what that is.
So what? Controller.
What's the difference? But you've done vinyl, I'm assuming, obviously.
Yeah, I've done vinyl. I still spin on vinyl because now you can use vinyl encoded Serato that goes right to your laptop.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow.
So I still spin vinyl. I spin CDJs, and then I use my controller as well. So I can do any of the three.
Any of that stuff. Now, what are you going to bring? What are you going to bring to the Pride Parade?
My controller.
Yeah.
The thing with the controller is just it's literally taking a mixer and two vinyl or two CDJs and making it into one package.
Okay.
And you're just carrying it all together as one.
So what's the DJ world like?
Oh, the DJ world is forever evolving. It's forever changing. Like right now, some company just dropped this new technology. I don't even know what it's called. It's that new. But you don't need needles anymore to spin vinyl.
What?
It's a small little rectangular piece, and it goes around the middle piece that spins, and it just reads the music back through your laptop. So you do not need a needle any longer.
That's incredible.
But you can scratch it. Like DJ Jazzy Jeff picked up the vinyl at one point and was just shaking it in his hand. And it makes a scratching sound. It still reads it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So the technology just... Now, what about other DJs? Do you all get along? Is there a competitive nature?
It is... oh, boy.
It Am I going to get you in trouble here?
No, not at all. I'm self-employed. I run everything myself. There is competition. I like to think that it's friendly competition.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the time that it's not. I feel like definitely being a woman in the industry, it's very challenging because it is still very heavily male dominated.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like a lot of us younger DJs get heat from the older DJs.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us don't carry the crates of vinyl. So they'll look at us and be like, oh, you're not a real DJ.
Yeah.
Or if we've learned like shortcuts on keypads and whatnot, we're not a real DJ, or we don't belong in certain spaces that we're getting booked to DJ at. So that's annoying, but I feel like I've been very lucky in the fact that the DJ circle that I'm in or a part of, we're not competitive to where it's like envious. It's more so competitive like, that was a really good set. I want to go home and try to figure out how you did some of those transitions.
Right, and how to top it, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of us throw each other gigs. Like, I have a good 5 or 6 different DJ friends. If I get asked to DJ something, but it's not my forte, or I'm booked already, I'll throw it to one of them in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
great.
Vice versa.
Now,
yeah.
But you speaking of getting gigs, is there a website or something where people can contact you if they would like to get you to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
DJCashEra.com.
DJCashEra.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're looking for a DJ, well, you got to get cash. That's what you got to do.
Absolutely. For anything.
Anything.
I DJ anything and everything.
Yeah, very cool. I understand that you were the official DJ for the Wildcats.
I was.
Yeah,
I was
for football and basketball.
Football, yeah, men's football and basketball. I was with them for 3 seasons.
Was that fun?
It was absolutely amazing. I had never, I'd never been to a college basketball or football game.
Mm-hmm.
So with football.
Yeah, Columbia didn't have teams.
No, Columbia doesn't have sports. They paired us with like Roosevelt Renegades, and the games were like. At one point, they were playing like a Harry Potter game in some field, and
like Quidditch?
called it a game, and wanted us to come out and support. And I saw the poster, like, I am not coming to this. This is not what sports is supposed to be.
Yeah. So there's a big difference between that and going to a Northwestern game.
Yeah, art school compared to a heavy sports school.
I went to Columbia, but I went there a long time ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think much changed since you've been there.
You know, it's so you did that for 3 seasons, and would that be like during timeouts and stuff?
So I would DJ as people were coming into the stadium or the stands, and then for football, every time there was a timeout, I had to play music. If there was an injury, music went silent.
Mm.
During the TV commercial breaks, there would be, you know, like music that went along with the video board. And then third downs were like when the other team had a third down, we would blast music through the stadium to try to throw them off. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what they had me do. And then for basketball, I would spin as they were coming in when they were leaving. I had to get there super early for basketball to play for the players when they were warming up.
Yeah. Okay.
And then during the game for basketball, it was all just video board things, just controlling what they were doing. And if they were taking a long time to come back from a commercial break, I'd play music in between there too.
You had a good time though, right?
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great run. Sometimes I still go back up there and DJ random games when their current DJ needs a day off or anything like that. So I still keep in contact with them
much
so. Yeah.
So you won the Toast of the Coast competition.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
So, you know, there's many music festivals out here. And last year I DJed at Man Beyond the Beach, Pitchfork, and then when North Coast came around.
Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah.
There was an online competition for DJs and for artists. And you had to, like, upload a mix and then just rally your fans to vote for you. And I posted on my social media, like, hey, I'm going for this. Help me get through the second round, and we'll see where we can get.
Yeah.
People voted me up, and I came in number one over artists and DJs with votes.
That's awesome.
And made it through to the second round to where we had to compete live. So I went up against three other DJs, and then the artists went up against each other. And I won by a long shot over the other DJs.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
And then that you were performing at the North Coast Music Festival?
Yeah, they gave me my own stage. And I brought out some of the artists that were supposed to perform the day before. They got rained out. So they performed on stage with me. And, yeah, I played one of the largest music festivals in Chicago by myself.
That's amazing. So you perform, all over the place. Mm-hmm. One of the places that I've actually visited, I visited there last October, and I find it a very strange place.
I feel like I know the Soho House. I knew it was coming.
My future ex-wife, actress Dana DiLorenzo, was in town. She was in a show called Ash vs. Evil Dead. And she was in town, and we were going to hang out, and she was staying at the Soho House.
Of course.
So I met her there, and I walked in, and I was like, what? What's going on? And I walked around the place, all the different rooms, and it was just like, what the hell is happening here?
Yes.
What room do you play in when you play?
It depends. Right now, I actually hold three residencies there.
Okay.
So when I'm there for Fight Night, Drag Brunch, and Chicago's Next. It's a very widespread array.
It's a weird place, man. And we spent a lot of time out on the roof, by the fireplaces and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, where the pool is, yeah.
Yes, that's
where
we it's like a country club for people with a lot of money.
It is. It's a very strange place, but that's cool. Well, listen, I'm so excited that you work here at WGN on Sunday mornings. Everybody can listen to what you produce. But I'm mostly excited. I'm so happy for you for the second year doing the Pride Parade. I know it means a lot to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Look for DJ Cash Era. She'll be on the WGN float on Sunday. Look for that, and you will be you'll be DJing and keeping the party going all day long.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. It's great to have you on. It's nice to see you in the building again.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it was my pleasure. You're great. Okay, so that's DJ Cash Era, and you can follow her on Twitter at DJ Cash Era, and you can go to djcashera.com for more information and to book her for a gig if you would like to. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN.